And I'll not ask you to turn to any scripture right now. I would like to ask you to give me your attention, just a very short few minutes. And please pay attention now, just for a few minutes, if you would. No talking. Everybody still and quiet. And for just a very brief period, listen to what I got to say. And I know that all of you got plans for this afternoon. I hope you're planning on doing something special for your mother. Ain't none of you mothers had to cook today, are they? Okay. You let me know if they make you cook today. Lose these guilty men dropping their heads around here. You let me know. I don't preach about them tonight if they make you cook. Men's going to take care of that. Clean up the mess. Wash the dishes. Amen, ladies. I tell you what, now, I'm trying to help you. You better amen me when I'm trying to help you. Amen. It'd be a shame for mamas have to do all that work today. This is her day, so honor her. If you grew up in a family out in the country anywhere, I want you to think with me on this thought. If you grew up out in the country like I did, when it would come time to eat, you might have been out behind the barn or chasing chickens around the trees out in the yard, and you don't see it much anymore. You know, many people got chickens anymore. Used to, when I was growing up, Daddy'd have some old chickens in the yard, and they was fun to chase around. Of course, you had to watch. Be real careful where you stepped when you got a bunch of chickens in the yard. But you might have had hogs and fence and had your knees down in the mud. I remember we used to go down there and play below where I lived, and that a man had some horses in a barn down there, and we'd go down there and just play in that barn. We used to get up there, and they'd have hay in there and just throw it down, you know, and roll around. You'd see an old black snake or something every now and then. I never will forget one time I got in a bee's nest, and there was a bunch of wasps, and they come out, and they got all over my back. I think I got about 11 or 12 of them right on my back. I must not have had on a shirt or something. I went running up the road screaming, running up to my house. And I remember, you know, I thought I was getting away from them. They was just on my back, just stinging a fire out of me. And I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget going home before it started getting dark. And one time I remember I went down the road and I played with these boys, and it kept getting darker and darker. And they'd always told me, you better be home now before dark. And I had my bicycle, and it kept getting darker and darker. And you want to, you know, get your bat one more time, or get to hit the ball one more time, or you want another turn, or whatever you're doing. And I kept looking outside, and it was getting darker and darker. And boy, it got just about dark. I'd head out on my bicycle, headed up Hoppy Tom, trying to get home before dark. And at that time, we couldn't understand it, but at Mom, years ago, when people had big families, 7 and 8 and 9 children, like some of these ladies do here, at night time when the lights would go out, Mom would always ask one thing, are all the children in? She'd always ask that. Is all the kids in? Go in there and check Atten's bed. Go in there and check Atten's room. You know, you had a bunch of them, you're liable to miss one or two of them, not realize it. That's happened here before church. I think Danny Tucker's left one of his here a time or two, asleep on the pew. And you don't miss them until it's time to get them ready to go to school the next morning. But anyway, Mom would say, are all the children in? Mothers naturally worry about whether their kids are in or not. It's natural, built in. God puts it in. Is it any wonder why when you talk about heaven and going to heaven when we die and preaching the gospel, talking about what's going to happen to us, is it any wonder you that Mom sits and cries and worries about her children being saved? It's no wonder. She's done that ever since they were little children. Are all the children in? I have ladies call me every now and then over the telephone, worried, crying. And many a mom's tears have caused many a young person to think twice and be saved. Just this past week, There's a lady came and heard me preach. She's heard me at several churches down there. Anytime I'm down that area, they've been some of their church group coming. And she told me, she said, I have a daughter that's not right with the Lord. Please pray for her. I preached down at Huntersville a few weeks back. She said, I'm going to try my best to get my daughter to come and hear you preach. The night came. I said, well, did she make it? She said, no, she would not come. But the other night, I preached this past Thursday night down in Newton. They were there. I didn't know her daughter was there. After the service, we had about 30 young people come up the altar, and there's five of them got saved, and there was a bunch come and rededicated their life, and that woman came up to me after the service and said, my daughter got right with the Lord. She rededicated her life, and she was thrilled. And I've noticed that everywhere I go, there's usually some mama comes up and shakes my hand. Sometimes her hair has already turned white. She'll grab my hand and shake it and say, preacher, please pray for my son. Please pray for my boy. He's out there in sin. I'm afraid he's going to die. I'm afraid something's going to happen to him. I'm afraid Jesus is going to come and my boy will be left behind. And I don't want my boy to be left behind. Please pray for my boy or my girl. Mothers worry about whether all the children are in. Many a lady has come around the altar and prayed and shed tears for a wayward boy or a wayward girl out there in sin somewhere. Oh, did you know that many moms have done without food and nearly starved themselves to death fasting and doing without bodily necessities, praying that God would touch their boy or their girl who's maybe living out there in sin somewhere. A woman's greatest function in this world and highest honor would be to bear children and raise them for God and see them turn out for the glory of God. They talk about a vocation and a career. You couldn't do anything any greater. A man can't do that. Bring a child into this world and rear him for God as a real mother can. Now I want to talk just a minute about a real mother's prayer. Mother is the sweetest word, no doubt, that we know besides Jesus Himself. Nothing in this world like a real mother. I'm convinced more and more and more as I travel around and meet people, and God has allowed me to get an education somewhat because of getting to go so many places and meet so many people, you begin to notice a few things after a while. I used to be confused how that somebody would be a preacher and maybe their kids would turn out bad, or somebody would say, well, oh, so-and-so, he's always been a preacher and look how wicked his kids are. That used to really bother me. One day I begin to see through that thing, and it always is traced back to mother. It's always traced back to mother. A child is better off with a bad daddy and a good mother than a bad mother and a good daddy. Always. Mother has more influence over a child. I can give you quote after quote after quote. If I had time this morning, I have many quotes from great men who were strongly influenced. Thomas Edison said, I'm thankful for my mother's influence. She believed in me at a critical time in my life and made him go on. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. Abraham Lincoln said the very same thing. Everything I am, my mother made me what I am. D.L. Moody said, of all the things that I am or that all I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. Did you hear that? That's what D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said. He said, everything I've ever accomplished, every soul I've ever won, every meeting I've ever preached, every time somebody's walked the aisle and got saved, I owe it to my roots, to my mother teaching me the right way when I was a child. Thomas Edison said, my mother was the making of me. Fulton said, scientists and doctors and lawyers and preachers and on and on and on said the same thing. My mother made me what I am. And listen, if you had a good mother that set you on your knee, her knee when you was little, held you and sung to you, Jesus loves me, or the B-I-B-L-E, and taught you the Word of God and showed you the right way, you ought to be raising your hands this morning and saying, thank God for my mother that raised me right and taught me the right way. You have an invaluable asset that other people don't have. You had a mother that loved you, took you to church when you was growing up. You're a rich person today. You don't know how thankful you ought to be for a mother like that. Listen, Susanna Wesley has gone down in history as one of the world's greatest mothers. She had 19 children. She raised 17 of those, I think. And two of her boys done great works for God. Charles Wesley and, of course, John Wesley. John Wesley became the father and founder of Methodism, the Methodist Church. Charles Wesley wrote some of the greatest hymns in our songbook. And Susanna Wesley raised these boys. And they said that she took one at her kids, one at a time, and gave them 1 hour of religious instruction per week per child. That's with raising like 17 kids with all the washing, all the ironing, all the dishes, the 3 meals a day. She had time to take every child aside and teach them about God 1 hour a week. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing now that we'll have electric, a washing machine, even some cases a dishwasher and a car and air conditioned and restaurants to eat out in and still have no time to teach our kids about God? And here's a woman who taught them about the Lord. You know what she would do? She would take each one of her kids alone many times. She'd take one of them in the bedroom and hold its hand and pour out her soul to God for that kid. Don't you think a kid ain't going to think twice before they go out and sin if right before they sin, they see their mama down with her hands grabbing her like that saying, oh God, don't ever let this little boy go wrong. Oh God, don't ever. That's why I do that with my girls. When I pray with my girls many, many times, Carrie can tell you back there this morning, I get them down and pray for them at night and she's heard me do it. Probably hundreds of times, I'll say, God, don't ever let these girls go out and sin. God, don't ever let them ruin their life. God, don't ever do it. And listen, there's a lot of kids been kept out of trouble, been kept out of jail, and been kept out of hell itself because of some mama's prayers keeping the judgment of God off of her. What a lot of boys out here running up and down the road attribute to luck ain't a thing in the world, but mama on her knees at home praying for them that God will have mercy on them and not let that boy get saved and die and go to hell. Or not let him die and go to hell before he gets saved. I'm telling you this morning, I talked to an old fellow down in, I believe it was Lenore one time, was out witnessing on the street. I think it was down there toward that area. There's an old fellow sitting there like this. He's sitting on a park bench. His head was bent over. His neck was real red. All around his neck here, you could tell it was an alcoholic. I went up and talked to him. I said, how you doing, friend? He looked up at me like that. He said, all right, how are you? And I said, here, I want to give you something to read, friend. This will tell you about God. This will tell you about your best friend. And he took that gospel tract, you know, and he looked at it. He kind of looked up at it. It looked like he had tears running down his face. You could tell this man's life was ruined. You could tell that alcohol had all but just destroyed his mind and body. I mean, you could just tell. And he looked pitiful, and I felt sorry for him. I said, what's your name, friend? He said, Bill. I said, Bill, I told him, my name's Danny, and I'm a preacher, and I want to help you. And I began to talk to him, and he just had the most terrible look on his face. It was pitiful. And I began to talk to him, and he said, no, I'm not a Christian. But he said, I want to tell you something. He said, my mama is the best person I've ever known. He said, my mama loves, and buddy, I mean, he said it in such a way that I could tell his mama really was a great woman. And he began to tell me something. In a few minutes, he said, preacher, I've lived a wicked life. And he said, "Preacher, I've been out here running around, been drunk so many times." He said, "It's a wonder I ain't been killed." And he said, "You know, preacher," he said, "a funny thing happened to me not too long ago." He said, "Me and these fellas went up to Ohio to get a car." And he said, we went up there and we drove one car up there. And he was going to buy one and bring another one back, bring both of them back. He said, "I rode up there and we was all drinking and we was all having a big time." And he said, "We got up there, got to drinking and everybody, all of us was about drunk." And he said, "We got in this car." And he said, "Them guys said, 'Come on, Bill, get in.'" And he said, "Right when I got ready to step in that car," he said, "something stopped me." He said, "I can't explain it. I don't know what it was." He said, "It just, something just stopped me and said, 'Don't get in.'" And he kind of got stunned. He thought, "Well, what was that?" And he said, "I started to get in again." They was all saying, "Come on, man, get in. Let's try this thing out." And he said, "I started to get in again." And he said, "Something just stopped me and said, 'Don't get in.'" And he said, I was scared and I backed. He said, "That's it, fellas, I ain't gonna ride." They said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "That's it." He went and got in the other car and rode with them. He said, they all took off, headed back down toward North Carolina. He said, it wasn't just a little ways down the road. Them fellas were flying down the road, lost control of that car, wrapped that thing around a tree, and every one of them was killed just like that. He said, they died. He said, "You know, preacher, that kind of bothered me." He said, "I don't understand why that happened like it did. And what that was, it wouldn't let me get in that car." And buddy, I said, "Bill, I know what it was. I know what it was." He said, "I said a minute ago, you told me you had a godly mother. You told me you had a mother that loved God." I said, "No doubt that mama was at home, maybe on her knees, praying, 'God, take care of my boy. God, take care of my boy. God, don't let nothing happen to my boy. God, don't let my boy go to hell.' And God, in mercy and love, reached down and kept you from getting into that car." You know as well as I know, there's some of you sitting here this morning, if it were not for your mother at home praying for you, there's no telling where you'd be this morning. There's no telling where I'd be this morning. Most of you know my daddy was an alcoholic as I was growing up. His drinking got worse and worse and worse as I got older. My mom set me on her lap when I was little. I remember mom reading us Bible stories, and I enjoyed that so much. Listen, there's no substitute for that. There's no substitute for it. Nowadays, we think we can buy them a tape with a Bible story and say, "Here, go to your room and play this." Now, they might enjoy that, and them's all right, but it don't substitute mama putting you on your lap and telling you a real Bible story. Them tape players ain't soft and warm. They can't smile at you and hug you. They can't answer your questions. But mama can. And boy, I remember mom sitting me on her lap. All three of us, me and my two sisters, and we'd all pile right on top of her. And she'd tell us Bible story. We had a big Bible story book. And I remember mom always, always, "This is a special day for my mom, and I want it to be special for her. And I don't want to embarrass her over here this morning, but I want to tell you something. She taught me, I never, ever heard anything wrong come out of my mama's mouth. Ever. In my life. I've never heard her encourage, to my knowledge, anybody to do wrong." And that night I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church when I was 18 years old. All that stuff that she taught began to come back and make sense. God, no doubt, used her to keep me out of a life of sin, and I would be in hell this morning on my way. My mom hadn't have prayed for me. Daddy got saved after I did. Daddy got right with God later. I'm telling you, I thank God for a Christian mama that can pray. You can do more for God. That's why the great kings and queens of centuries gone by said, "I fear those people's prayers more than I fear an army, more than I fear a tank, more than I fear a bomb or a jet. If somebody can get a hold of God Almighty, they can shake this world for the glory of God." Yes, sir, brother. Washing and ironing. Mom's little girl came to Mama one time and she said, Mama, don't you get tired of washing and ironing all the time, doing dishes? And the mama said, honey, I ain't doing dishes. I'm building a home. I'm building a home. Now, a real mother's prayer this morning is this. Are all the children in? At supper time, when I look around the table, are all the children in? At night time, when it comes time to go to bed, mama looks around and says, are all the children in? Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Well, go find him. Tell him we're not going to start till he gets here. Tell him we're going to wait on him to say our prayers and ask the blessing on the food. And tell go out there and tell your sister to get in here. We're about ready to eat. The other kids, they just want to come in there and dive in. But mama wonders where all of them are. Isn't it amazing how a woman can have 8 children or 9 children, 7 children, like some of these ladies here this morning, and have enough love to love every single one of them, just like she was. They were the only one they had. That amazes me. It's not like when you have 2 children, you get half love to this and half. You have just as much love for that second one as you did the first one, and just as much for the third one as you did the first one, and just as much for the 6th or 7th one as you did the 4th or 5th one. There's just no end to it. There's no limit to it. When supper time comes, mama wants all the children in. When night time comes, mama wants all the children in. And when it comes to heaven and salvation, mama wants the same thing. Mama wants all the children in. Mama wants you in today, friend. Mama wants you in. Mama wants you in and be saved and go to heaven. One of these days, when we get to heaven, we'll be up there around the throne of God. There'll be a lot of mamas say, listen, did all my children make it? Did all my children make it? There may be somebody here this morning, your mother's done gone to heaven. And before your mother died, you stood by her bedside. And she said, son or daughter, promise me I'll see you in heaven. And you said, yes, mama, I promise you. And your mama's done gone on to heaven. She's been there many, many years. And brother, she's still waiting on the good news to come ringing down the avenues of heaven today, that you have gotten saved, but you're still putting it off and still wasting time and still wasting your life. Let me tell you this morning, my dear friend, your mama wants you to be in heaven with her. Mama wants you to be up there with her one day. It would be a tragedy to not go to heaven and be with mama again on the other side. I want to tell you about a song this morning and how it got started. And I believe the Lord's dealing with some people in here this morning. You know good and well, the greatest Mother's Day present you could give your mama today would be to look at her right in the eyes and hug her neck and say, Mama, I'm saved and you don't have to worry about me. I'll be in heaven. If you bought her a solid gold Cadillac and set it in the front parking lot of the church this morning, that wouldn't mean as much to her as the relief of knowing one of her kids ain't going to hell. All the women that live in torment knowing they've got a child that if they got killed, they'd go to hell. How awful that'd be. But years ago, they used to sing a song in them great crusades. I believe it was in the D.L. Moody crusades and something like maybe the Billy Sunday crusades. I've heard old Billy Kelly sing this song. And the name of the song is Tell Mother I'll Be There. And the song goes something like this. When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I grieved my mother with my folly and neglect. But now she's gone to heaven, and I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joy with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. You know how that song came about? The President of the United States, President McKinley, got a telegram one day urgent emergency message. And somebody came to him and they said, Mr. President, urgent message. And it said, your mother is dying. And President McKinley dropped everything that he was doing and he sent this telegram. Tell mother, I'll be there. And he said, Mom, I'm going to get on the next train. And it got all over the paper. The newspapers got a hold of that quote. You know how sometimes the president will say something and it kind of catches. And it, like these riots in L.A. and all this stuff. And they've come out on the front page of the paper. President McKinley said, tell mother I'll be there. And they said he got on that train headed to see his dying mother. And wanted to see her before she died. A songwriter saw that newspaper headline and wrote that song. It was R.A. Torrey he toured around with. Matter of fact, I believe. And he went around with Dr. Torrey. He took that headline off of that newspaper and said, tell mother I'll be there, and wrote that song. Tell mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there. Heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother, I'll be there. And he wrote that song. He got up and he sang that all over the country. And he said, your mama is in heaven today and she wants you to be saved. Well, can we tell your mother you'll be there? And people started coming down the aisles and crying and getting saved. Saying, I want my mother to know I'll be there. I don't want to break my mother's heart. I don't want her to worry about my soul. Blessed Savior, tell Mama I'll be there. The real mother's prayer is, Lord, is all my children in? Lord, are all my children saved? Lord, is my boy saved? Lord, is my daughter saved? Lord, is that son saved? Is that daughter saved? Are all my children saved? Mama won't be happy till every one of her children are saved. Serving God, I can see people a lot of different places in this room this morning. You're wiping tears and God has touched your heart. Listen, it ain't right. It's not right. It's morally wrong for you to worry your mother to death, living in sin, and make her have to live in torment, worrying whether you're going to heaven or hell. It's a crime. You ought to get it fixed. You ought to settle it once and for all. Settle it once and for all. I know my parents probably worried about me before I got saved, afraid I'd wreck and get killed or something like that. I mean, they still worry about that. But they don't worry about where I'd go if something did happen. Blessed Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Let me ask you a question this morning as we close. They come to the instruments. Could you look your mother right in the face this morning and say, Mama, I'll meet you in heaven. Oh, you say, well, I don't believe in talking to people like that. Let me just tell you something, friend. You're going to die one of these days. You understand that? You are going to die. And your mother's going to die. And your daddy's going to die. You're going to have to deal with this sooner or later. You can't just push it out of your mind and say, well, I went to church for Mother's Day, get her off my back. Why? No. It's much more important. We're talking about dying and living in heaven or hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your blessed mother. Not to mention the Savior in glory. Died for your sins. So you could be saved. Don't waste your life living in sin. Hadn't some of you run just about far enough? Hadn't some of you gone just about as far as you can go? You say, well, if I get saved, my friends will laugh at me. Oh, who cares? If your friends would laugh at you for getting saved, they ain't your friends. They don't even want you to go to heaven. You don't need no enemies if that's where your friends are. Who cares what somebody thinks? Who cares what your family might say? Who cares what your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife? Big deal, brother. Tell mother I'll be there. You know what? All that's going to matter one of these days is where are you going when you leave this world? Ain't nothing else matters. There ain't nothing else matters except where are you going when you leave here? Tell mother I'll be there. And answer to her prayer. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's some people in here this morning. No doubt. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're from. But I believe God sent you here this morning and gave me this message to preach to you. Could you tell your darling mother, I'll be there? Maybe you've run just as far as you can go, friend. Maybe you're a young lady here this morning. You broke your mama's heart. You need to get down here on this altar this morning and get saved. And say, I'm going to tell my mama I'll be in heaven. Maybe you're a young man here this morning. And you have worried your mama to death living the way you've lived. And you're going to be man enough to do something about it this morning. Walk down here like a man and say, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get right with God. It takes a real man to do that. And say, I'm going to serve God. Father, now Lord, I've tried to do my best to preach. God, my heart goes out for mamas here this morning. Lord, when I think about Sister Erlene, how she's so brokenhearted over wayward kids and many other mothers, how they can't live in peace, never have a moment's peace because of worrying over boys and over girls. Lord, answer some mama's prayer today. Lord, let this be the day some boy comes home. Let this be the day some girl comes back in the fold and gets her heart right with thee. Oh God, please do it for Jesus' sake. Lord, I've done what I can do. Now do what I can't do. Bring the Holy Ghost of God Almighty. Convict people of sin. Let them realize their need of a Savior. Walk down these aisles this morning and trust Jesus Christ. Have all their sins washed away. And say as President McKinley did many, many years ago, tell Mother, I'll be there. God, move in this invitation. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.